we can turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 12, and then we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll spend all of our time in 2 Timothy, but we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustedst, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? I don't know if you understand what that's saying there, but Jeremiah was living in a day when Babylon was about to take over Judah. And these people were trusting in their land of peace. And they were running with footmen. And the footmen were wearying them, the soldiers on foot. And he says, how can you contend with the horses? Because the horses are coming. And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan when things aren't so peaceful? It's quite a verse. And I have a heavy heart, a sober heart, as I see what's happening. I'm concerned, and you might find this strange, but I'm concerned for what happens when it gets back to quote-unquote normal again. Because we Americans, we tend to, first of all, let me say it this way. We tend to not pay attention to our government so much when we think there's a Republican in the White House and so therefore everything's going to be fine. We tend to not pay attention to our government when everything seems to look okay. And understand that the devil works 24/7, okay? And he marches on. Now, I am not overly concerned. I'm not worried to death. As a matter of fact, I'm sad. And if you're not familiar, you know, we have some folks that aren't here normally when I'm talking about end time stuff. I have a very different view than you're going to hear on TV, radio, or most churches. And it's not terrible, but they would tell you it's a heresy. Because it goes against everything that they want to believe. And that is the idea that we, as we just sang, listen for the trumpet. We believe that, okay? But the idea of a pre-tribulation rapture, that's what everybody's been taught. I was taught it growing up. And my friends in other churches, they still follow that. And it sounds nice because it means that I don't have to go through tribulation. I get out before it gets bad. All right. And that's nice. However, I don't think, based on the Bible, I don't think that's what happens. And then, of course, there's the conspiracy side of things. Oh, you're just wearing those tinfoil hat type people thinking. No, here's what I think. I think the devil is the conspirator. All right. And I think the devil has a lot of followers. There's a lot of interesting things going on in our nation right now. I saw a banner from people. You know, there's people marching on the governor's mansion in Indiana. There's people marching in Texas. There's people pretty upset in Wisconsin and Michigan and different places. And good for them. I mean, that's the American spirit. I mean, I enjoy that. And I don't think our president's a bad guy. I want to believe that he cares for this country more than a lot of people around him do. And you know, he's tweeting out, hey, go for it. You know, it's your state. March on your capital, you know. And the liberals hate him for it. You know, how dare he stir up the pot? Well, that's what we're about, right? You know, that's what it's supposed to be about. I just don't think that that we should put all our eggs, though, in the Trump basket. I think we need to beware. But I saw a banner, and it was in Texas. Texans do not want the mark of the beast. You know, whoa! I mean, that was on the front headline thing of some news. It was like NBC News or something. I just saw it, and then I was trying to read it because when you try to read the story, that picture's gone. but it's on the headline. So I'm reading, I'm trying to read it, and it says, you know, it lists Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates and Dr. Birx and George Soros, and, you know, and it just has, and then it's this ID 2020, I think it's 2020 or 2021 ID, and it's all about this digital ID. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but Bill Gates is very much pushing the idea of a digital marking and the idea of digital tracking. And we talked about, we showed something a few weeks ago on that. And understand that in our push as Americans, in our push to get back to normal, in our push to get back to normal living, we tend to give up things in order to get that done. We tend to desire to see things, you know, feel good and economy rolling and all that. And I think it's going to happen. I just think that it will. But I think, you know, it's for the enemy, Satan. It's three steps forward and maybe a step or two back. But he's still advancing. Okay, and it'll feel like we're okay. But there'll be some things that we're giving up, and we are. I'll give you an example. I was driving on Thursday. I was listening to KOTA radio, and I'm just talking here, and then I'm going to get into the Bible. But I was driving on Thursday, and I just headed into town, and I was listening to KOTA, and it was Sean Hannity, and he was saying something like, "Well, listen, I just want to see the baseball stadiums filled, and you know, they might have to scan our foreheads with a temperature scanner, but that's worth it. I mean, hey, if I got to get scanned by a temperature scanner to go to a baseball game, and if I got to wear a mask, and he said, if I got to drink beer out of a straw, I'm okay with all that." And I wasn't okay with drinking beer out of a straw, and I wasn't okay with really the idea of being scanned. You know why? Because the scan doesn't, in my mind, I'm thinking that's not where it's going to stop. They're not just going to scan your temperature. All right, they'll be, and then who's to say that they don't decide that Dave Linville is a danger? So we're just going to automatically default him to temperature override, and he'll never be allowed into public stadiums. You see where this is going? Now, Sean, I'm driving down the road, and Sean's saying, "I mean, hey, that's worth it if we can get back to normal living, you know." And Sean's saying this. Sean Hannity's saying this. So then there's this other voice comes on, and he says, "Oh, I don't like that." And it was a person he was interviewing, and he said, "I don't like that." He said, "I don't like that idea of the scanning thing." And Sean said, "Well, come on, I'm not for big government, but you know, we got to see New York Stadium, we got to see Mets and Yankees, we got to get back to some." And I thought, "Who is this? I recognize this voice, but who is this?" And the other person saying, "No, he said exactly what I said. He said, I think the problem's going to be, is that it won't just be the temperature, it'll be other things." And I was like, now I wonder who this is. You know who it was? It was Governor Cuomo. Governor Cuomo was telling Sean something I agreed with. And I'm like, what is up with my world? But I'm telling you that so that you'll understand that you can't just be conservative anymore. You got to think. All right. Hey, understand me. I don't agree with Governor Cuomo on most stuff. Okay. But we're in interesting times, and I don't think Bill Gates is the Antichrist. I do think he works for him voluntarily, and I think a lot of these do it. I saw something just about an hour ago that there's, and some of this stuff, is it true? But I believe it. There's 286 signatures on a petition to have Bill Gates brought before some sort of a trial or something for what he's trying to push here. You know, I'd sign it too, but you know, the controlling of people, and we can't get back to assembling and normal living until we all have a vaccine. And I love this. I love this. Somebody said this a few weeks ago. Okay, so the guy who can't keep viruses out of my computer is going to promise me he's going to keep viruses out of my body. Right? Sure. You know? There's some interesting stuff about Bill Gates. His dad was very high up in Planned Parenthood, and his mom was very high up in IBM. And he's said that we need to reduce the population. He said that 10 years ago in a TED talk. And somebody else said, okay, so let me get this straight. The guy who thinks we need to reduce the population now wants to give everybody a vaccine to save us all. You know what I mean? I don't trust him, but I don't think he's the Antichrist. Saw something else. This was Scott Clem. Scott Clem shared this, and Scott Clem's not just a pastor. He's a representative in Wyoming, state representative. And I checked it out, and I asked somebody else, hey, check this out. Is this legit? Apparently, back in March, Bill Gates or Microsoft or somebody filed for a patent. And March 27, 2020. And the number of the patent, is 060606. You know, I've told you before that the IBM barcode, that long line at the beginning is a six, the middle line's a six, the last line's a six. I don't understand how this is happening, other than a lot of Bible believers aren't paying attention, even though they call themselves Bible believers. But I think a lot of it is sliding through. Because the thought is this. Well, yeah, we're seeing this coming to pass. And I saw a pastor on the other side of South Dakota say this yesterday. But isn't it exciting that we're going to be out of here before it gets bad? And so it's almost like, yeah, just it's okay. Now, my burden is, based on what I believe, is that it's going to get bad, and some of these folks are going to lose their hope. Because they've been told by the TV preachers and the radio preachers that's not how it was supposed to happen. And so that concerns me. That's what I'm concerned of. And I see good people that otherwise believe the scriptures the way you and I believe them. But on this subject of end times, they just keep thinking, okay, it must be soon. And so a week ago, a pastor that I know tweeted something about, you know, maybe the Lord will come today. And I just, you know, he knows where I'm at. And I just said, probably not, but it will be soon after the last trumpet, you know. And I think that last trumpet is the seventh trumpet. And because that is the last trumpet. And so he said, well, he said, based on 1 Thessalonians, I don't think your interpretation of 2 Thessalonians is correct. And so he said, I don't want to argue this publicly because I've got people in our church that will see this. And I said, hey, I agree with you. I don't want to tear you down in front of your church members or argue it like that. So I messaged him privately. I said, hey, I read through 1 Thessalonians in my devotions this last week, and I don't see where you're saying that. No response. Crickets, crickets, crickets. Then last night, another pastor said, Matt Furs, you want to go through the tribulation? And I said, well no, I don't want to. But I do believe, what I said was, is that because he said, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, we are not appointed to wrath. And I said, amen, we are not appointed to wrath. The problem is that people take wrath and tribulation and make them the same thing. But you and I both know that John chapter 16, verse 33 says, in this world you will have tribulation. But we are not appointed to wrath. There's two separate words. Jesus told us tribulation was coming. We're supposed to glory in tribulation, Romans 5, 1. And so you separate those words and you start to realize the two different meanings here. Let's not cross over. And so I said, look, I said, you know, you're quoting chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians where it says we're not appointed to wrath. Matt Purs, why do you think that? Well, chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians clearly says we are appointed to affliction and tribulation. I mean, it says, so I said the same people in chapter 3 and chapter 5 are saying they are appointed to tribulation and affliction. But at chapter 5, verse 9, they're not appointed to wrath. So there's two separations. There's a separation of the words there. Again, no answer. Just, you know, and I think it's important, folks, that we remember. And that's why we use the King James Bible here, because, again, a lot of folks, not only are they listening to TV and radio, but they've grown up on a different version or been told a different version is better. And that causes then more confusion in all of this. I said that I believe that Bill Gates probably works for the devil. I don't just think that. I really believe that, not because I hate the man. But last week, before last week, Microsoft was promoting an artist named Marina Abramovic. Molina Abramovic. Do anybody know who that is? Marina, or I think I'm saying her name right, Marina Abramovic is a Satanist. I don't know if you even remember, and I don't care that you look it up. It's pretty disgusting, but there was something a while back called Pizzagate, and there's these spirit cooking. These people, these celebrities, people you would know, people you would recognize their names, would meet with Marina Abramovic, and they'd have a cake that was made to look like a human body, and then they would eat it. Okay? I mean, just... You say, why? These people are Satanists. There's a lot of Hollywood elites that are wicked, wicked people. They're not just stupid liberals. They're smart Satanists. Okay? They're not all just a bunch of dumb, stupid liberals. Some of them are just stupid Satanists. And this Marina Abramovic is like the leader of this witchcraft, this Satan. And Microsoft was promoting her as an artist. And so many people called them out on that on the internet last week that they pulled the advertisement. So I don't think that it's all just coincidental. At the same time, as our passage says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, deceiving and being deceived. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Understand, when you see evil and wickedness in high places, that yes, they're deceiving, but they're also being deceived. I don't trust a lot of these folks. I don't trust the Obamas, okay? But I think not only are the Obamas wicked people, but I think the Obamas are deceived people. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're working for a cause that isn't going to reward them in the end either. Okay? Ask Ted Kennedy right now how well it's going for him. Okay? He's no doubt, in my mind, where he is right now. And so understand that We need to be thankful we're not in this wicked mess that some of these people are in, and the filth that's behind them and what they're involved in. But let's understand, and let's start back up in chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now there's one more thing I need to mention, and apologize to our guests that are here tonight. Don't mean to shock you out of your seats. But because I don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, there's one thing that has led me to realize some things that's helped me to say, whoa, wait a minute, hold on a second. Because what I found out was that the biggest objection to a post-trib, pre-wrath rapture, which is what I think the Bible teaches, after tribulation but before the wrath of God, Jesus comes. The biggest objection to that is that it doesn't provide that special 7-year time that they need for Israel to blossom and become who they're supposed to be in their minds. Here's what I've come to believe and realize from studying the scripture. First of all, people really can't prove to me pre-tribulation is right, but they'll say to me, then you're an anti-Semite. Because you're not providing Israel an opportunity to come to the Lord. Can I just remind everybody right now that Israel right now has an opportunity to come to the Lord? They do right now. And before I go any farther, we support 36 missionaries, and one of them is in Tel Aviv right now, witnessing to people. We support saved Jewish man. We are not anti-Semite. However, I'll let you talk for yourself, but I am not pro-modern state of Israel because of all this. We've heard this thing called the Chinese virus. And some people say, that's very racist. Well, you know, here's my problem. My problem is that as an American, I don't think we... Oh, by the way, we funded lots of money over in China so that they could study all this stupid stuff in the laboratory so that then they could turn around and make some weird thing out of it, okay? All right? The foreign money that we spend is ridiculous and what it does to us. But as an American, I don't like the fact that we're even tied to China. I wish that Mr. Limbaugh and other people would finally say, you know, NAFTA and foreign trade wasn't as good an idea as we thought it was. Been better if we'd have just kind of done home business. You know what I mean? So let me tell you the first part of something. So 2 days ago, Ted Cruz, conservative Ted Cruz, he and another and a Democrat have a new bill that they're sponsoring and they're pushing, and I think it's gonna gain traction. I think it's gonna become something. And the first part of it goes like this: we need to stop relying on China for medical. We need to stop relying on Chinese medicine and medical, laboratory and testing. And we need to be free from China. Woo! You got me on that one. I agree. I believe that. But the second part of it is, instead, we need to turn to Israel because they have the answers to this virus. In my opinion, based on what I've been studying, I just could see this coming. I believe that according to prophecy, Israel will get stronger and America will get weaker. Because as I've already told you, America can't be America in order for the one world system to happen. America's foundation is on Jesus Christ and our, marching on the governor's mansion. I mean, stuff like that. The rest of the globe wouldn't even try that, you know. But here we are. We have some thinking going on in this country, and we have some biblical basis. And so I think America has to go down. However, I don't think Israel is going to get weaker. I think Israel is going to get stronger. But here's why. Because I believe that when you get to the end, those who are not saved, and especially those, and I think Israel will become the center of the United Nations. I think the actual, what we call Antichrist, will be a Jew who does not have any belief or respect for Jesus Christ. And I believe that the Whore of Babylon then becomes the Christ-rejecting Israel. All right? I mean, think about it. What does Antichrist mean? Antichrist means against, but it also means in replacement of. So when Ted Cruz and the Democrat push this, and it's going to, I just think it's going to gain traction. Something like it. Somebody's bill will. And he wants to give $12 million towards them to help them. I'm kind of like old Mike Rowe. Why don't we give $12 million to an American and have them figure this thing out? You know, that's another point. But here's what's going to happen. The same Texans, the same good old fashioned redneck Americans that are so against this Chinese virus have been led to believe by their teachers, their preachers. And you all know this is true. If anything labeled Israel, we're for. That's what's come. That's how things have been in the evangelical circles, okay? And Ted Cruz runs in that circle. And so when that comes out, the same people who said, I ain't taking no vaccine and I ain't taking no digital ID. Israel's doing it? Oh, it must be okay. And it can't be the mark of the beast because we're getting out of here before that happens. You see how this works? And I think that's what's coming. And I think that's where we're headed. And I can't stop it. And I think the Bible tells us, you know, gives me enough to indicate that that's where we're headed. I showed you a couple weeks ago that Benjamin Netanyahu has already implemented that we need to track people with their cell phones in Israel. So that if you are suspected of having the virus and you are in contact with someone and those two phones ping each other, then now we suspect you being close to that cell phone, those smartphones. And so they're using the smartphones and eventually it'll be a digital ID. And eventually it'll be you can't travel because you were with someone who had the virus. This is also hocus pocus because how hard is it going to be for someone to just make it up that you have the virus? I mean, how hard would it be for a doctor to scan you? Oh, you've got it. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? No, I don't. Right? Do you understand how controlling all this becomes? I stopped trusting my government a long time ago. Right? That doesn't mean I'm crazy kooky, but I stopped trusting. That doesn't mean I don't go to the doctor ever. That doesn't mean I think that the local doctors in Custer are, you know, I hope you understand. But do you understand how easy it will be to control people? Because we're already running around scared of something we can't see. You know? And who decides? You know, how do I know that test really does what it says it does? You know? How hard would it be to just fake some tests? You know? And how do I know that virus is going to fix anything? How do I know what else you got in that thing? That vaccine, I mean, is going to fix anything. Ugh. Anyway, I'm really rambling here. I want to get to the Bible. But understand that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And so let's see what the Bible says. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, people turning each other in, lying to each other, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And we see that all around us, just religion without true Christianity, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres stood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Let me stop here and talk to you for a minute about this having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, and reprobate concerning the faith. 2,000 years ago, who was the number one enemy of Paul when he was traveling around and preaching the gospel to people? Who was the number one group of people that was opposed to him? It was the Jews. And what was the problem? They could not handle the fact that Jesus Christ was Jesus Christ. Can I tell you today that despite what every evangelical says, and I know there's like a John Hagee out there, and I know there's these people that, you know, even Robert Jefferson and others, they talk about how wonderful, Benjamin Netanyahu, oh, you can just feel the warm fuzzies when you talk to them and when you go over there. Listen, I've been there. And I'm telling you right now, it's a tourist trap. They love the dollars, and they love Christians coming and spending and promoting them and supporting them. But I'm telling you right now that the average person in Israel does not believe in Jesus Christ. Many of them are very much opposed to Jesus Christ. They're not opposed to Christians spending money, and they're not opposed to political power and political support. But it's not. I mentioned the missionary that we support in Israel right now. He's not free to do what we do even right now. He has to really watch himself. And so we need to understand that Paul said in the beginning, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then he uses the example of the people who were reprobate concerning the faith. And then he says this in verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Persecute. He said, now, I want you to know, you've known me. You know my testimony. And by the way, I just want to stop and say, that's what I'm hanging on to, even in my life. I'm hanging on to the fact that as it was for me, and it was for others, like Pastor Brooks in Rapid City, I've heard him tell this as well. When I first heard my pastor teaching on this and talking about this, wait a minute. Oh, hey, you can't say that. You can't say something negative about the Jews. You can't. What are you talking about? And then I'd have to go home and I'd have to sit and think, and, okay, so how can somebody who preaches the Bible straight on everything else, how could they have this one real messed up problem? And, you know, or is it really that they have a problem, or maybe I'm the one that has the problem? And my point is that I hope that testimony, like Paul's saying, you know me. Paul's saying in verse 10, you know me, you know my doctrine, you know my manner of life, you know my faith, my long-suffering, charity. You know that my purpose behind all this, my motive behind all this, is not because I hate anybody. Notice he mentioned Jannes and Jambres, who lived in Moses' day, but he didn't mention all the people that had stoned him just recently. Because he loved them. He said in Romans chapter, I think it's chapter 12, no, chapter 10 or 11, it's my heart's desire that Israel would be saved. I love them. But then verse 11, he says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, you and I, we read that. We read verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And we think, oh, yeah, persecutions, like they couldn't have more than 10 people meeting in their church. No, that wasn't persecution. They had a shortage of toilet paper. No, that wasn't the afflictions that they were going through. You want to see the persecutions that Paul's talking about in verse 11? Keep your finger there and go to Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city to hear the word of God. This is Antioch. By the way, there's two Antiochs. This is not the Antioch where the church started, but the other one, the heathen one. Verse 45, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And by the way, that's why it says to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We gave you first dibs. We preached the gospel to you. But you are spitting on us and spitting on it and running us out. And so we turn to the Gentiles. Verse 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. That's Isaiah 49. That thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. So they went from Antioch to Iconium. That's the second city that we read about in 2 Timothy 3. And the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Ghost. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake. They went to the Jew first before they went to the Greek. And that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. I'm going to skip down for the sake of time and go down. But basically, they did some amazing things. God did some. They healed this man that was crippled. And so the people started to worship them, worship Paul and Barnabas as if they were Jupiter and Mercury. And Paul and Barnabas said, "Do not worship us. We are not Jupiter and Mercury. You need to worship God." And so then, right after that, the same people that wanted to worship them ended up stoning them. Verse 19, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium." So now there's Jews from Antioch and Iconium hounding them, "who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." Probably he was dead or almost dead. Probably that's where he had that out-of-body experience where he talks about the revelations that God gave him in Corinthians 12. "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch." They went back to the cities that persecuted them. They went back. "Confirming the souls." They went back to encourage the Christians of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And then they said this, "And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." Now, if the guy that they stoned to death and drug out of the city and just kind of threw his body up, you know, in the trash, wakes up and staggers back up and walks back in and says, "Now, be encouraged, because through much tribulation," you know what I'm saying? But that's what he said. But when you read it in 2 Timothy 3, it's just, you know, "I went through persecutions, afflictions, but the Lord delivered, I endured them." That's all it says. It doesn't say anything about, you know, I raised support to help me with my hospital bills, or I needed to go on a 3-month sabbatical to rest up for all my injuries. No, there's nothing like that. You know, I'm talking about a tough guy. I just wanted to give you that background. He says, verse 12, back in 2 Timothy 3, "Those are the persecutions and afflictions I endured, but the Lord, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Can I tell you something? If we're going to live godly, there's going to be some persecution. I'm not looking for it. I'm not going out trying to find a way that I can get some persecution. But if we're going to live godly, we're going to suffer some persecution. And verse 13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." I'm not convinced that everyone who says they're saved is saved. I'm sure you would agree that not everybody who calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. And I think what's going to happen, thanks to some false doctrine and false teaching, is that pretty soon the Bible believer is going to be the bad guy. And they already say I'm anti-Semitic. I'm not. And I'll call out anybody and go toe-to-toe with anybody that tries to lump that on me. But I do believe, and I don't mean this to be pessimistic or unkind, I do believe, because of prophecy, that we're seeing a resurgence, 1948 to the present, of a modern resurrection of a people. And if God will save some of them, praise the Lord. And here's what you say, "Well, Pastor, what about all the prophecies about Israel?" We'll get into this more. Some of you have heard it already, but we'll get into this a lot more. But the true Israel of God are the people who are saved, not the people who are born of the flesh. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Remember the conversation with a very religious Jew? "You must be born again. I'm pedigreed descendant of Abraham." "That which is born of flesh is flesh. You must be born again." I do think Nicodemus did get saved eventually. And then Galatians, you know, we didn't read Acts 15, but Galatians, "They that are in Christ, the same are the children of Abraham." By faith are the children of Abraham. Some teach that the white race is the lost tribes of Israel. It doesn't matter if they are or not. Flesh and blood don't inherit the kingdom of God. This is not white supremacy or any kind of racism at all. This is about being born again. This is about every ethnicity under the sun having the opportunity to get saved and become a child of God and in Christ. And this idea that Ted Cruz and others are now going to push about trusting Israel with our medical. At the first, it probably will be a win-win. But I do not want the most advanced computer technology country in the world to also be in charge of my medical records, and they're not American. But that's what will happen. And most people don't know this, but Israel has always been a socialized medicine since 1948. They have had Obamacare since 1948. They have socialized medicine. They are not what we are told they are. They have abortions for free over there. The government pays for it. Your Christian icon isn't going to tell you that. And oh, by the way, we Americans already, without Ted Cruz's bill, we already give Israel, we already give them $11 million every day. Every day we give them $11 million. And they have abortions for free. How come no conservative is questioning those two things? And so if someone like me starts pointing this out, you're anti-Semitic. You're evil. Really? And that's where this is leading. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to sober you. I really believe that our president meant it when he said he wanted to make America great again. I really believe he wants that. But in reality, what you're going to see, if you haven't seen it already, is it's MIGA. It's Make Israel Great Again. Greater. They've already got their embassy moved in. I mean, they've already seen some real advancements over there. And those things will stay permanent. And I'm only telling you this because I've read the rest of the Bible, and we're going to get to it when we start to study Revelation in May. But it all starts to fit together, and it's all coming to fruition. So, in the short term, in the next few weeks or months, there might be some reprieve. But already, the powers that be have done a dry run, a test run, and they've already found out how much they can get away with. They've already found out who they can push and how far they can push them, haven't they? They've already seen pastors chew out other pastors for having church. Why can't you just have church online like we do? Excuse me, you cannot have church online because church means assembly. You can watch church online, but you can't have church online because church means assembly. The very first amendment in this nation given to us through the influence of Baptist preachers in Virginia like John Leland was the freedom of religion, and in that was the freedom of assembly and the free press, and the free speech, redress grievances like on the front lawn of the governor's mansion. That's the American way, and it's also the biblical way. It's also something that we had foundational through Christian heritage. And we're seeing that eroded, and I'm seeing some Christians get mad at me for even saying that I think our governor's doing a good job on this subject. Oh, I think it's terrible. She doesn't realize how many lives she's destroying. Let me just stop and say, I'm so thankful I'm not one of these people wearing a mask and a sign, I want my job back, you know? Aren't you thankful? We need to pray for our local officials because they're under the gun. And they're trying to paint anything like this as much as possible as radical and crazy. And I'll just go ahead and throw this out there. Wouldn't surprise me if somebody dropped a COVID bomb in South Dakota somewhere just to stir up the pot. But folks, regardless, we can talk conspiracy all night and I don't want to. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I think Bill Gates is a deceiver, and I think he's being deceived. I think most of your politicians are deceiving, but they're also being deceived. And I think we need to recognize that. And yet, what do we do? Verse 14. It says in verse 14, start a political action committee, buy a couple AR-15s, get a lot of ammo, and live in a cave, and go out like Rambo. It's not what it says. It's not what it says. But what if they violate my freedoms? Ask Paul about freedoms. You know, he got stoned to death. And yet he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast, where did he point everybody? Where did he say to go? The Bible. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. I mean, you wouldn't even be saved without the Bible. Through faith which is in Christ Jesus, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. One of the mantras of people who are totally opposed to what I've said tonight, and yet claim to be Christian, is, but the Bible says, I will bless them that bless Israel, and I will curse them that curse Israel. The Bible does not say that. Not that one, anyway. Not the original English. These and thous are important. And God said to Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee and your seed. And if you read Galatians, you realize that seed is singular. And Galatians says singular because it's not about all the seeds of Abraham. It's about the seed, Jesus Christ. Now, if I'm in Jesus Christ, I'm part of the seed too. But if you reject Christ, you can't be part of the seed of Abraham. That's why in John chapter 8, Jesus said, you say your father is Abraham, but the truth is your father's the devil. They wanted to stone Jesus for saying that. Preach the word, because the time's going to come where they will turn from sound doctrine and turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And so this mantra, don't you know that if we bless Israel, we'll be blessed? Now, I got a question for you. I want to just shout this from the housetops to all these people who've argued with me over this for years. You know, you'd think $11 million a day, we'd get a better deal out of this deal than we've been getting, don't you think? $11 million a day, and look what our economy's doing? I mean, where's the blessings? Hello? As a matter of fact, if you go back to 1948 and you count all the way up to today, how much blessings has America had from 48 to today compared to previous 48? What was better, America, previous 1948 or post-1948? I'd say the blessings are not there. I'd say the $11 million per day is not worth it, whatever it is we're getting blessed with. And I challenge anybody watching on that camera to show me how this COVID went around America and exempted them from anything because we blessed Israel. And we don't give anybody, no other country gets as much money from us as Israel does. But the time will come when they will turn from sound doctrine, and having itching ears, they'll be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Hey, let me stop here. I've said everything I've said tonight because I think the people in this room can handle it. But when I'm talking to someone on the street and I'm talking to strangers about the Lord, I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about you need to go to heaven when you die. You know what I'm saying? I'm focusing on what he said, preach the gospel to every creature. This other stuff, even if they get it wrong, it's okay. We'll all end up in the same heaven as long as we're saved. And so endure afflictions, and then it says do the work of an evangelist. You know what the work of an evangelist is? The work of an evangelist is not traveling around preaching to people. The work of an evangelist is traveling around preaching to people the gospel. The evangelist is someone who's just spreading the good news. And so you and I are supposed to be evangelists or soul winners, sharing the gospel. I mentioned this morning that someone sent, a Jehovah's Witness sent me a tract. You know what I did? I sent a couple back. Not ugly. I didn't say anything ugly. I just sent a couple. Why? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to preach the gospel to them. And we're supposed to endure afflictions. And we're supposed to allow whatever for the sake. Why? Because there's people out there that are blind. Look at chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I've written a book on this subject called Who is Israel? That's why they drive all the way from Wall, South Dakota, because they heard about it. They heard about me through this subject tonight. I'm talking about tonight. It's not all negative feedback. One man messaged or commented on something a year or so ago, and he said, Pastor, you're right on. I am a quote-unquote descendant of Abraham physically, but it's not that descendancy that's getting me to heaven. It's being born again. And I appreciate that because that helps me to be encouraged. A Palestinian was encouraged because he's always felt like he's second great. By the way, this whole philosophy that they believe is so racist. And the plight of the Palestinians is not what we're told it is. And there are Christians on the Palestine side of the line. And they are persecuted. And I would not agree that they should send bombs, but rather endure affliction and preach the gospel and do the work of an evangelist. Paul loved his people and he went to them first. And even when they stoned him, and even when they went, they followed him from city to city and then worked up the people and persecuted him and stoned him and had him just create all kinds of havoc. He still was meek and loving and preached the gospel. Didn't fight back. And it says here in verse 6, for I am not ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul was going to get executed. History says Nero had his head cut off. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul wasn't afraid to be a fighter, but the fighting wasn't with guns and ammo. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare is not carnal. It's not even political. The weapons of our warfare is spiritual. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation. We fight a different battle in a different way. Yeah, I've fought a good fight. He told Timothy back in chapter 2, be strong. And it says here in verse 3 of chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's why I started out reading Jeremiah 12, verse 5. If you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to keep up with the horsemen? They're coming. It's ugly. It's evil. What's happening? It's ungodly. And I don't mean this in any unkind way at all. But a person who knows the most, or should know the most, and yet does not want to receive Jesus Christ, becomes a very ugly person. The proof of that is a guy named Saul in the book of Acts, who was so against this Jesus, and so against these people who were following this Jesus, that he fought them, and he made sure that one of them got stoned to death while he stood there holding all the coats while Stephen was stoned. But I think Stephen's testimony and Stephen's word that he gave at the end of chapter 7 of Acts was part of the pricks that were pricking against Saul's heart. But I'll say to you that people who ought to know, and the Bible clearly says that the oracles of God were given to them first. And if they don't break and submit to it, they become hardened as reprobate minds towards it. And they resist the truth and they turn against it. They're living there where Jesus walked. They give tours about this Jesus to gullible Christians. And yet, it's just not a Jesus they really believe in. And I'm telling you, be careful, be aware of this. And Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We'll talk more about this deeper subject later. But let me remind you, this is also the same book that starts out in chapter 1, verse 7, and says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The hymn that we sing sometimes, and I don't have it memorized, but it goes something like this. Should my forefathers have to go through prison and dungeon and persecution, and I be carried on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize? I don't want persecution. But I can't think of a more honorable way to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll be frank with you. I don't want to die a fat, comfortable American. I want to die serving my Lord as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Very much aware of what's happening. But harmless as a dove, but wise as a serpent. Just meekly instructing those that oppose themselves. Proving by my actions and by my testimony that I really believe what I say I believe in. I am not here to harm anyone. But I'm here to tell them that without Jesus Christ, there's no hope. No one is the chosen people of God unless they choose Jesus Christ. So matter of fact, 1 John says, if you deny the Father, you don't have the Son. Or excuse me, if you deny the Son, you don't have the Father. And it goes on to say that spirit is Antichrist. If you are Antichrist, you can't possibly have the Father. So anyone who says, well, God's still their Father, whether it's Islam or Judaism, if they deny the Son, they don't have the Father. The Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong, and nobody argued with me this morning when I said I don't agree with the Jehovah's Witnesses. But the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe Jesus and God are the same. I'm not a Catholic, but I think that Catholicism has a better respect for Jesus than the Jews do. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we're in times where even other fellow Christians are going to say, wait a minute, you're a heretic. Wait a minute, you're crazy. And the politicians are going to be mad because if we're following the Bible, we're not going to want to go along with everything. Now, if any politician would stand up and say, I think we need to stop having all foreign aid to all foreign countries. Oh, man. You got my vote. But to switch it from China to the other side of the world is not really a change of anything. It's going to look like it. They're going to want it to look like it. And everyone's going to think it. It's going to be promoted. Sean Hannity's going to scream from the housetops how beautiful it is. But but it's a shame. What do you and I need to do? We need to recognize perilous times shall come. And I want you to remember, this is not the time to start our own radio podcast or store up ammo or to become radical nuts, but simply to continue in the Word of God and understand that there's still a silver lining. There's 280 plus thousand people that have watched the gospel presentation that we made 3 weeks ago. I think Facebook finally stopped it because the number has not grown in the last week and a half. It has stayed the same number. I think Facebook finally froze it. But 280 plus thousand people on just two different Facebook pages, you think about the fact that it was shared 10,000 times. One of our friends in Montana said, I have friends that don't know you, but they're sharing it. Praise the Lord. The point is that the gospel seems to go farther when we're having bad times than when everything's comfortable. The gospel seems to go farther. And if I was God in heaven, and I'm not, but if I was God in heaven, I would look down and say, you know what? I seem to get more productivity out of my Christians when it's not so comfortable. What did we start America for? So we could have a great economy? What was the foundation? It was built on people who wanted more freedom for this. But what are we using the freedom for today? It's not what it's been used for as much. I love this country and I love our heritage. I know that some people in Washington mean well. But I know there's a lot of wickedness there too. And we can get wrapped up in it. I don't recommend you go look at all the conspiracy stuff out there. You'll waste a lot of time. But instead, keep your nose in the book. Continue. Perilous time shall come. So I have an arrow drawn from verse 1. Perilous time shall come. Verse 14. Continue in the Word. Continue in the Bible. Timothy, just continue. But don't you think I should maybe get a Christian lawyer or something so that when they want to stone me, I can go to court and fight it? Continue in the Word. Should I buy some pads, knee pads, helmet in case I get stoned? Fine, but continue in the Word. Continue in the Word. Don't get off track. Don't fight the wrong cause. Continue in the Word. Isn't it exciting that people want to get baptized? I mean, there's churches right now that aren't even having church, and we might be having a baptism soon. Woo! Isn't that exciting? It's exciting that more people are starting to come to church so that when some of our loved ones come back to church, they'll be like, wow, who are these visitors? Oh, let me introduce you. Some of our visitors will be like, that's my seat. No, it's my seat. No, you've been gone for 2 months. This is my seat. And here's what I wish my pre-tribulation brethren would understand. I really do care for them because I know more than they know. I know how much we're going to need each other. So I'm not trying to ruin them and tear them down. I'm not trying to call them. I'm trying to show them, help them because one day some of them are going to start to wake up and they're going to say, whoa, according to my calculations, we should have been out of here by now, and we're not. And I want them to know that the book's right. You just got swerved left. The book's right. Get back to the book. It's right. And that we're not all swerving left. But if we yell at each other and take it personal and get all proud about it, Satan wins then, doesn't he? And so the biggest proof of all that I really believe this is that I recognize that those guys are still going to be here when they don't think they're going to be here. And I'm trying to help them and love them along and not just. So I hope that you have learned some things tonight and could be encouraged by some things tonight, be challenged by some things tonight. And love the fact that you know, I don't know for sure that Trump is saved. I want to believe that he's starting to lean that way. He said he watched Christian services. I'm sure it wasn't our church type. But I really think that even a proud man with a lot of money could get saved. And our governor, I know she's very much in favor of what we are, but pray for her. Pray for all the different leaders. Because they're being, I promise you, Satan's got his minions right in their ear right now. But whether or not the political situation stays in our favor, whether or not things in South Dakota really take an ugly turn, what are we going to do? Continue in the Word. Might change a little bit of mode and methods, but we'll continue in the Word. We'll just keep doing it the same old way, maybe with new ideas, but the same old way. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for warnings and recognitions. You knew these last days were coming, and so you allowed a man who was stoned and beaten and jailed, and yet who had such a knowledge of the Word, to be our example and our warning and encouragement to us. You allowed the Scriptures to be inspired and written as they were, so that we could gain encouragement and comfort and also a sober understanding of what it has to say. Lord, help us to recognize the true victory is not anything in politics, but rather it's when someone says, I want to get baptized, or I want to talk to you about baptism. What does that mean? The idea that someone is a family, a parent, is turning to you and wanting to know more, that we're seeing others starting to come to church and some saved and some maybe on the verge of getting saved, help us to realize that's the victory. That's what you've been wanting to see all this time. Is these families saved? These young people straighten on the right path. Help us to not worry so much about the economy and the politics that we stop forgetting what it is that your heart beats all about. And that we keep going forward and we keep doing the work of an evangelist. And we keep enduring the afflictions. And we keep preaching the Word and continuing in the Word. And be good soldiers, endure hardness, and not fear, but have power and love and a sound mind. Help us to remember that, to reread it, to remind ourselves of it, and to ask you for help along the way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.